Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome to an all-new episode of New You City Chat here on the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm Danielle Mercurio, lifestyle coach and founder of New You City Coaching. So I am a life coach here in New York City, and I work with other city transplants that are looking to find purpose, clarity, and build their confidence in the city and really live out their reality in the way that they want to. And I am so excited for tonight's show. You know, I always feel like no matter what in life, everything always comes together for a reason. And it does so at the right place and at the right time. And I especially feel that tonight that is really true. And you're going to learn why in just a little bit. And tonight our title is The Myth of the Ladder to Success. Myself and a special guest will be discussing exactly what that means, and we're going to, you know, talk a little bit about why the model of success can work for you, but how it can also work against you. Many of you have heard me mention this idea of society's timeline before, and, you know, I talk a lot about how, you know, we think that if we take the appropriate steps, such as picking the right major in college, getting a good job in a nice city, you know, maybe finding the right partner, getting married to that person, et cetera, that we'll be doing everything right. And then because of that, we will then be, quote unquote, happy. But let me ask you, do you find that that's always the case? Have you found that by doing everything that you felt like you should do, that you found your true happiness, that when you wake up in the morning, you feel really alive and really filled with passion and a lot of purpose? You know, and that may be true, but maybe it's not. Because, hey, what if you pick the wrong major or you're 35 and you're still single? Does that mean now that you are, quote unquote, a failure? It's, you know, or we could look at the flip side. What if you did land that perfect job or you did find someone that had really good relationship potential so you decided to marry them? You know, how did that go for you? Is that really what you wanted for your life or were you just going along with the flow? And so we're going to discuss this whole idea and a lot more, and we're going to give you the strategies that you need to live a more purpose-driven and more awakened life. And, you know, throughout the show, I always encourage people to participate. This isn't just about me talking and you know, blurting things out to you. I want it to be a full, you know, incorporate dynamic. So you can call in. The number is 646-716-9397. And throughout the show, we'll open up the lines for you to, you know, talk to us and answer any questions or any comments or things that you may have. So if you want to listen in, you may certainly do so by dialing that number and then dial 1, and that'll let me know that you want to talk to us. And then throughout the show, you can also tweet along. I like when you use the hashtag NYCChat through Twitter. You can also just use my handle, NewYouCity. And then in addition, we have the chat room. And the chat room I'll be monitoring throughout. So please, you know, ask any questions that you might have, a great comment, anything, you know, leave me a little smiley face. That makes me happy. So just something to know, to let me know that you're engaged and you're excited about what's going on. So that would be great. And then on that note, let's get back to our topic. So going back to this idea of the myth of the ladder to success, and how I was saying earlier, it kind of hits a little bit close to home to me. And the reason being is the past couple of weeks, I've kind of been on this corporate ladder climb myself. Now, most of you know, like I said earlier, I'm a life coach. And before that, in my past life, if you will, I was working as a legal assistant full-time for a law firm. And I left it a couple months ago so that I could pursue my life coaching full time. And the reason being, it was just I didn't have work-life balance when I was working at the law firm. It was a very intense environment, very demanding, and it just didn't provide me with everything that I knew I needed for life in the long term. So, you know, at the time, it was great. It gave me stability. It gave me structure. It gave me a really great sense of routine. And it gave me everything I needed so that, in turn, I could build my coaching business. It brought me to New York City. It gave me the income that I needed so that I could support myself, so that I could later in life pursue the things that I wanted to. So, but again, I knew that it wasn't really my calling, and I also knew that eventually I would get burned out. So earlier in the year, I kind of planned my escape route, and I left, and I haven't really looked back since, which really proves to me that I am on the right path. It's been so rewarding doing the thing that I like really truly love. It aligns with my values, and it just feels really right. It feels like me and who I am. Now, however, though, with most small businesses, they take a little bit of time to build, and so it's not exactly where I want it to be just yet. So to get some extra revenue going, I thought it'd be a good idea to maybe check out some part-time assistant work. And I haven't really looked for a job in about 5 years. And honestly, I didn't really know what the process was like anymore or what it entailed and just all these different things that went with it. And so it turns out that I actually have a very strong skill set and I'm considered an asset when it comes to being an executive assistant. So before I know it, I'm being picked up by recruiters and I'm going on interviews at these like Fortune 500 companies. I'm meeting with partners and principals and CFOs and they're all, you know, being really great and they're being really receptive to me and my personality and, you know, I'm getting all these flattering comments and you know, before I know it, I'm getting these offers and they're pretty amazing in the sense that more money than I had ever been given before. And it totally blew me away. This had gone so much further from my original thought, which was, hey, let me see if I can just find some small, you know, hourly temp work just to kind of get some extra cash flow, into being offered these full-blown, full-time jobs at a really amazing salary. So I did get caught up in it, and I did kind of consider, well, maybe I should do this. This sounds way better right now. But then I took a step back, and I realized what I was doing and what was going on. And I realized that it wasn't what I wanted. It didn't align with my purposes, and it wasn't, you know, going along with everything that I had just worked so hard to build. And essentially, by taking any of those jobs, I realized that I would be right back to where I started again at the law firm. And the real main difference this time, though, is that I'd feel like a sellout. And so it's not every day that recruiters call you with a really amazing offer and you start crying on the other end of the phone line. So that was definitely interesting. But we, you know, we set things straight, and I've scaled back some now, and I'm definitely in a much better place where I'm looking for something that aligns more with what I originally wanted. And, you know, it just kind of goes to show you how easy it is to get caught up in the glamour and the image and all of that of the industry. And it's why I was reminded that we do get so stuck. And, you know, we think we're making the right decisions for our future, but where are the decisions actually coming from? Who's making them? Are we making our decisions, and are we making them based on our passions, or are we just doing this because we have this need to want to feel safe and secure and accepted by others and, you know, just kind of go, you know, fly under the radar, if you will? So it kind of is just interesting how that all correlated to what we were going to be talking about this evening. So on that note, I want to bring in and introduce our special guest host for the evening, Andrew Dow. I'm really, really excited to have him on. He is such a good person. He's really open. He's really honest. And I just think that is such a true value to have and such wonderful characteristics in a person. Andrew and I were connected by our mutual friend, Alex. And Alex, he's a super enthusiastic guy. And he was basically just like, I love Andrew Dow. He's a life coach. You guys should talk. So I was like, sweet, I want in. And we touched base shortly after. And honestly, after just a few moments of talking with Andrew, I knew that he had a special quality within him, and we hit it off right away. And one of the biggest parts that we connected on was that we both realized, very much so in our 20s, that there's more out there than what we had actually been told. You know, that we tried doing quote-unquote what we were supposed to, but it was almost as if our minds and our bodies were rejecting the process. And it wasn't until we actually let go of this idea of what success should be that we found real, true happiness. So a little bit more about Andrew. Andrew believes that a primary purpose of life is working through fears and transforming them into love and acceptance. He's a life coach, writer, and co-founder of the Universe Series, a company which is sharing tools and techniques to help people grow while transforming their lives for the better. Now, he's used those tools to work through and release much of the pain from his own childhood bullying, dealing with his parents' divorce, and with a parental unit who emotionally and verbally abused him with guilt, shame, and fear due to their severe gambling addiction. Andrew believes that the secret to fulfillment and happiness lies largely in letting go of the expectations, the pain, and the fear that hold us back. He experienced this as himself. And, you know, he does because he was a graduate of Stanford University. He pursued the prestigious routes of strategy consulting as well as early-stage tech startups, only to discover that, contrary to what he had been promised, true fulfillment was not to be found in his career choice. So now he focuses on deeper fulfillment by practicing open-mindedness, reflective journaling, daily meditation, Tai Chi, and other energy arts. He constantly works on healing himself by using the root-digging tools that his company teaches to heal wounds with honesty, understanding, and forgiveness. So with that, I would like to welcome Andrew to the show. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Danielle. Can you hear me?
How are you?
I'm good. I just want to make sure it's a good connection we have here. Am I coming through loud and clear?
Yes, exactly. I can hear you great. You know, and if anyone we have a lot of people in the chat room, if anyone's having any issues with the connectivity, please let us know and we'll definitely adjust accordingly. But I hear you great, and as long as you can hear me too, that's a good sign.
Yeah, you're coming through loud and clear. Thank you so much, Danielle, for the introduction. And I do want to say that I'm very, very honored to be a guest on your show, and I'm looking forward to sharing a little bit more about, you know, what I know on this subject.
Great. Thank you. I'm really excited, and I just feel like this is such a great subject matter for us because you've really experienced what the cruel reality of the success model is at an early age and are now able to just turn what you've learned into so many positive aspects and aspects and elements, and I'm really just excited to discuss them further. So before we get really into the strategies and different ways that we can help the listeners with this whole myth of success, I want to talk a little bit more about your story and just kind of, you know, what it was like for you growing up and feeling like you had to, you know, wear a mask, if you will, you know, with the idea of hitting certain achievements, and then when you had that moment of realization.
Certainly. I think that makes sense. It's a great starting point. Because to really understand, you know, my decisions later on and how I came to break free of these expectations, you have to understand where I came from and how it was growing up. And the truth is that I don't think that my childhood was, you know, bar some, you know, I mean, there were unique events to my life, but really my life is quite similar to how a lot of people grow up. You know, I had two parents who, you know, expected a lot from me. They really wanted me to be happy. And both my parents are immigrant parents. So they came to America, and I was the first in my family to be born in America, along with my brothers. So there were a lot of, you know, expectations of the American dream was kind of the goal for us, with education being seen as probably the primary way that you know, that we could get to a better place in our lives and get to a better place in the future. You know, find success and find happiness by studying hard, getting good grades, and going to a good school, and then from a good school, getting a good job, and so on. And so, I'd say that probably from a very early age, my parents impressed upon me how important it was that I get good grades and that I study. And my mom always wanted me to be a doctor. My dad was open to being a lawyer or a businessman or a doctor, but, you know, no matter what it was, there was kind of this expectation that whatever it is I do, it has to be better than what they did. And the way to do that would be to focus on my schooling, to, you know, work really, really, really hard in school and then go to a good college, because somehow that would, you know, they assured me that would make me happy, that would make me successful. And then when I took that advice, I actually got to a pretty good school. I made it to Stanford University, where my older brother was also studying. And there at Stanford, I looked around, and you know, the classes were now harder. The level of competition had risen because I was surrounded by so many smart and motivated people. And there I was told again, well, now that you're there, Andrew, you have this rare opportunity to, you know, study with the best minds in the country, and, you know, the prospects for your future look really, really good. So make sure that you study hard and get the grades that you need in order to get that great job coming out of school. Whether it was going to be a lawyer or a businessman or a doctor, whatever it is, just make sure you study hard and, you know, we expect you to do well. So I took their advice again, and, you know, I worked really hard, and I came out of Stanford University and I got into the Boston Consulting Group, which is a very prestigious strategy consulting firm, one of the top three firms worldwide. And, you know, I got there, and, you know, again, I kind of felt like the level of competition has risen again. You know, the people around me are now incredibly smart, driven, motivated people who worked just as hard as I did, if not harder, to get to where they are now. So I must have made it, right? Like, I'm supposed to be very happy and very fulfilled and very successful now. And I certainly tried my hardest to buy into that. I certainly looked around and kind of said, okay, now that I'm a strategy consultant working for BCG, I can, you know, keep my head tall. I can walk around telling people what I do. I dress a certain way, you know, wearing business casual, collared shirts, nice pants, dress shoes, the works. And yet, you know, whatever it was, you know, whether it's a curse or a blessing, and now I've come to think that it's really a blessing, I still didn't really find fulfillment, or at the very least, I didn't buy into that, you know, this was supposed to be the happy, successful life that my parents and I had envisioned when I started down this path, when I started climbing this ladder. Instead of feeling super happy and fulfilled going to work every day, I kind of just felt tired and this general feeling of blah quite often. I was putting in 80, 90 hours a week into work at some point, and this wasn't even an uncommon thing in strategy consulting. This is kind of the norm. You work anywhere between 70 to 100, 110 hours a week. And in the spare time that I did have outside of work, I was stuck in this kind of trap of flaunting my status as an indicator of my success to other people. And, you know, when I met somebody, I'd try to find a way to work into the conversation that, hey, I'm a consultant, or that, hey, I'm a graduate from Stanford University. You know, look at me, aren't I impressive? Because I want you to like me. I want to be happy. If you tell me that what I'm doing is awesome, that you wish you were doing it, then maybe I'll feel a little bit better about what I'm doing. And, put that way, it sounds so incredibly shallow and so incredibly sad that I was stuck in this cycle of needing validation from other people. But if you look at, you know, if you really stop for a minute, and consider the picture that I painted for you, which was that as a child, I looked to my parents to tell me what I'm supposed to do. And they told me, if you go to school and you get really good grades, you're doing the right thing, Andrew. And when I came home with A's, you know, my parents said they loved me and that they were proud of me. And when I came home with B's and C's, my parents actually were quite disappointed. And as is not too uncommon in the Asian culture, I used to get hit with a bamboo stick for getting B's or C's. And I kind of sat there, really trying to make sense of it as a kid. And you got to remember that as a kid, we don't really understand how the world works. We're looking, you know, to our family unit, to our parents, to tell us how the world works, what's good, what's bad. And granted, you know, I think every person is born with an internal set of values that they have. But for me, and for so many people I've run into recently, the internal set of values, you know, about, you know, am I a good kid? You know, do my parents love me? Those things get really muddled and confused with the external stimuli from our parents, you know, at least from my parents, telling me that if I came home with a B or a C, I was kind of a disappointment, and that, remembering as I understood it from my perspective as a child, I just knew that a B or a C, I got hit, and an A, I got the money for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to associate getting a B or a C, just not doing well, just not living up to my parents' expectations as being somehow unworthy of their love. And, and this feeling of unworthiness was really overwhelming. And it led me to go study as hard as I could to try to get good grades. It led me to be really uncertain about myself in some situations. But, you know, I always thought that as long as I get good grades, something better will come. So I found the motivation to keep going, and I made it to Stanford. And at Stanford, you know, I started to meet so many amazing people, started to really open up and express myself a little bit more, to question a little bit, you know, am I really only worthy of love from my parents or from myself, you know, if I get good grades? But I stuck with it. I still stuck with it because the common wisdom that's passed around is that you got to do well in college, and it's all about the job you get afterwards. So, you know, in fact, being there, like so many people are brilliant, that it seemed that the accomplishments that I had had up until that point were cheapened by being around so many people who had done more amazing things. You know, people who had built a water well in Kenya when they were in high school, or built a soup kitchen, or started their own company, and then funded their own education to Stanford University. So I looked around and I was like, man, I haven't done that much. And I still don't really feel like I've achieved what my parents wanted me to. So let me try again. Let me keep working really hard in this way. And that's how I crafted the persona that eventually got me into Boston Consulting Group, that eventually helped me get there. And the reason that I didn't find fulfillment at BCG, and the reason I didn't find fulfillment at the job I held afterwards at a startup in the Bay Area, is honestly because this whole time I was doing all these things. You know, I was still just like that little kid, trying to live up to my parents' expectations, and trying to, you know, do well, get that accomplishment, so that I could bring it home, and they could tell me that, you know, I was doing well, that I was worthy of their love, and I hope I didn't jump into that too quickly, because this is a subject that I've been thinking about for the last couple of months. I write about it all the time. You know, I think that there's actually many more levels that I have to explore personally before I truly understand all of it. But what I can say is that I'm much closer to understanding what fulfillment is, and I feel more fulfilled every day, seeing that my work isn't really dependent on what I do, and also recognizing that one of the base conditions for the ladder of success is that fulfillment comes from outside of you. It comes at the next rung. That's why you go to college here. That's why you work so hard at college to get a job. That's why you work so hard at the job to get the promotion. That's why you work so hard saving money so you can buy the car and the house and all these external things, in the hopes that you ultimately find that fulfillment. And I realized that I was chasing the ghost of fulfillment, trying to live up to these expectations that I picked up and imposed upon myself early on because of the way that I'd grown up, and that actually leads nowhere. I think it sounds similar to what you realized yourself, Danielle.
Absolutely. And I mean, honestly, Andrew, thank you so much. I mean, the fact that you are able to, again, be so open and really share with us what you truly went through and the things that you were really feeling is just remarkable. So many of us, you know, we have childhood experiences, and we kind of keep, you know, again, not that maybe you lived a childhood that horribly, extreme or anything in that regard. But at the same time, we have little things that we kind of keep to ourselves, and we really, you know, again, it goes with that whole idea of, well, you shouldn't talk about what happens behind closed doors, and people aren't supposed to view, you know, your families in a negative light. Everyone's just kind of supposed to have this picture perfect thing, if you will, and I think that's something that we'll face down the line if, you know, we were to have families ourselves and having to deal with that whole package and keeping it together. But going back to the original idea of what you were saying, you know, it seems like, again, since your parents came to America, they were quote-unquote exposed to that American dream. And, you know, that American dream is all the things that were stressed upon you, to get good grades, to go to college, to get a good job, so that you are deemed a good person, and so that you're doing everything right, and that everyone can look at you and look at you with respect. I think that's a big thing. I think respect gets muddled very often. We think that someone should be given a lot of importance and value because of what they do. And for to some degree, absolutely. And for some people, it should be. If you're, you know, a doctor, even if you are a consultant and you love being a consultant, then I give you respect for that. Absolutely. But if you're a consultant or a doctor even or anything and you don't love what you're doing, well, to me, I lose respect for that because you're not truly aligning with what you want to do. And again, yeah, it just, you know, I was even thinking about what you were saying about, you know, having to look the part and wear certain things. And I've talked about this on my show before. And even just the past couple of weeks going on interviews and having to wear a suit, I hate suits. I've always hated business suits. I think I look ridiculous in them, and they're just not my thing. And I think part of it is because I'm not meant to be in a job where you wear a business suit. And so when I put them on, I feel a little bit less me because it's not what I want to wear. It's what they're telling me that I'm supposed to wear. And so there's like this weird disconnect. So again, thank you so much for just, you know, getting a little bit into that. It's a really great start for this whole topic. And again, going into the whole idea of, you know, you did it. You did everything you were supposed to do. And here you found yourself in a job and you were just kind of like, wait, I'm still looking for validation from others. I'm still looking to see how I can impress other people. So in turn, that might give me a sense of pride or joy. So really, you know, great insights and you know, we appreciate it. In the chat room already, they're talking, which is great, and they're loving your story. I don't know if you can see the chat room or not, but they definitely appreciate you, you know, being so honest and so relatable to us. So we're going to get into this just a little bit more. I just want to plug really quick our radio network, and then we'll get back to the subject matter. So for many of our listeners, this might be your first time on the Life Coach Radio Network. So in addition to my show, we have a multitude of other ones as well, and we have a huge range of topics. We have almost 40 hosts now that are on our network, as well as the International Life Coach Network and the Life Coach Chat channel. And we talk about all different things. We talk about career. We talk about, you know, relationship issues. We talk about just overcoming hardships. So it's just, there's such a wide range, and there's so many different voices and insights, and it's really an incredible experience. And if you want to learn more, our website is lifecoachradionetworks.com. And if you're interested in tuning into any of our other shows, you can find the schedule there. Tomorrow we have two shows coming up. Tomorrow on our Life Coach International Network, we have the Wise Gals, and they are going to be talking about how to exceed your awesomeness. And that's with Life Coaches Lynn Brunette and Heather Pardon. And that's tomorrow, Wednesday, October 16th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then also on Wednesday in the evening, we have the show The Benefits of a Good Night's Sleep. Do you feel tired throughout the day, and is it affecting your ability to focus, maybe lose weight, or fully engage with family and friends? You can join our coaches Philomena, Lynn Brunette, and Donica Treble, and they'll discuss the negative effects of sleep deprivation and how making your sleep a priority, you can increase your quality of life in so many ways. And that's tomorrow on the Life Coach Chat channel at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't mind the siren. I do live in the city. It happens. And it's fast. Okay. Thank you for bearing with me. All right. And then finally, on Thursday, October 17th, we have another show on the Life Coach Radio Network, the one that you're on now with Leanne Parsons. She is a certified professional coach with a specialization in working with adoptees and their families. And she's going to have a guest on, Carissa Woodwick, who is a Korean-born adoptee. She's a writer, a speaker, a counselor, and a family therapist, and she has written a couple books, the one being Before You Were Mine, Discovering Your Adopted Child's Life Story. And she and her husband live with their two children in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So she's going to come on with Leanne, and they're just going to talk about, you know, the adoption process in general and some of the hardships and some of the joys that go with it. So that's another really great show, and that's on Thursday, October 17th at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And again, you know, I welcome you to call in. We're going to open the lines in just a little bit for any callers we may have. The number is 646-716-9397. Again, I love all the activity in the chat room. And you can also tweet with us on Twitter. You can use hashtag NYCChat or find my handle, NewUCity, and let us know your comments or any feedbacks or questions you may have. All right, so we're going to get back into the subject matter. We kind of got into this whole idea of the ladder of success and, you know, why it's a false reality. So, you know, Andrew, you kind of discovered, once you realize, hey, this might not be for me, you know, I'm doing everything that I'm told here, and it just doesn't seem to be aligning with what I want. So, you know, clearly, I'm sure you didn't just say, okay, I'm done, like, I'm not doing this. What were some steps that you took to shift, to be a little bit stronger and, you know, see that this wasn't for you and remove yourself from the situation and really find something that felt more purposeful to you?
That's a great question. And, Danielle, I want to be very... You know, I feel like the whole point of this show and sharing our stories is to be able to help listeners who are tuned in to relate to their own story. And in order to do that, I actually have to be very honest here. And I think at first, you know, like I gave a sort of brief introduction to the whole story, but I've glossed over a lot of the points mm-hmm. that absolutely have to be understood. And actually, there's exactly the same points that I had to understand before I was ready to break out of this ladder, before I was ready to say that this isn't the path for me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to walk a more authentic, more real path. And it has a lot to do with an uncomfortable subject for some people to discuss, but the subject of pain. And just like how much pain people carry around in their lives, how much pain I carried around in my life from my childhood. Now, I mentioned that in your introduction, you mentioned that my parents were divorced early on, that I suffered, you know, emotional and verbal abuse from one of my parental units, and that I was a victim of childhood bullying. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that, you know, all those things are true, but if I were to try and point back to the earliest instance of what happened that kind of led me to embrace this ladder of success so strongly and so vehemently for 20-some years, I'd point at the fact that when I was a kid, I felt unloved. I actually felt very, very abandoned when I was young because one of my parents suffered from a gambling addiction, and they were always leaving the house. So, you know, you gotta visualize, like, you know, I'm a 4, maybe 5, 6-year-old kid, and I'm seeing one of my parents, you know, instead of being there in my life and spending time with me and loving me, they're constantly leaving. And when they do come home, you know, I work up the courage to ask, you know, why are you leaving? Won't you stay here with me? Like, you know, won't you stay and love me? And they said back to me, you know, Andrew, you know, be a good kid, go back upstairs and go to sleep. I have to go now. And I constantly saw, you know, this happen, and it shook the entire core of my being. It shook my belief in myself. It shook, you know, my belief in my own self-worth. It shook everything. When you don't feel that you're loved, when you're not certain that you're lovable, because I didn't understand that my parents had an issue of their own. I didn't understand what an addiction was. All I saw was somebody constantly leading me who was supposed to be the person that loves and cherishes and protects and nurtures me. At least, you know, that's that's really my belief as to what a parent is doing for a child, the responsibility that a parent has when they bring a child into this world. And so because I was so shaken, because I was so uncertain about my own self-worth, I just suffered from incredible lack of self-esteem and self-love. And when somebody said, Andrew, this is how you're happy, I was all over it. I was like, I don't feel happy. I'm not even sure that I don't feel happy, but I know that whatever it is you're talking about, if it can make me happy, let's try it. And that's how I got into being bullied, because it gave me a sense of belonging. It gave me an identity, a sense that even if I'm not worth that much, at least I'm worth something to these people because they talk to me, because they allow me to be part of their group, even though they don't treat me well, even though they verbally abuse me. Like, this is all still better than being left alone. And you know, later on when my parents divorced, I thought that was somehow my fault. I thought it was because I didn't get grades that were good enough. It doesn't make sense now that I talk about it, and I've come to understand that a lot of these things had nothing to do with me. But at the time, all I knew was that I'm not sure whether I can be loved. I don't think I'm lovable because my parent leaves me to go gamble. that led me to blame so many things in my life on myself. That led me to blame, the fact that I didn't get grades that were good enough. I would go home with that B or that C, and I would show my parents, you know, and I was afraid of getting hit. But even more than that, I was afraid that it meant I wasn't worthy of being their son. It meant I wasn't worthy of them being my parents. And it's just this really dark spiral that just, you know, sucks you down in the middle of it, doesn't let you go. And I held on to this pain for so long. It was my motivation for, you know, waking up every day at 6 a.m. and going to wrestling practice when I was in high school, and then taking all these AP classes and wrestling until 6 or 7 p.m. at night, going home, quickly eating something, and then doing homework until past midnight, because I thought that if I could succeed, if I could achieve something that was great, then maybe I was worthy of love. Maybe I was worthy of not just my parents' love, but, you know, if they loved me, maybe I would feel good. I would have permission to temporarily, you know, accept myself. But only until their validation went away, and then I had to go chase that again. And I'd done this again and again. You know, at Stanford, I did actually a lot of really hurtful things as a result of my own pain. I went there and I was always lacking love. And, you know, I'm just going to actually go out and say it. Like, the parent who wasn't there for me when I was a kid was my mother. And my whole life, I've only grown up around men. There was never really a female influence in my life. And so when I went to Stanford, the thing that I'd always lacked, the thing that I'd always wanted, was the love of a woman in my life. So someone to tell me that I was worth loving and that I was a good person and that I was whole and complete and just worthy of somebody else being there. But I didn't know that that was my issue. I didn't even know about the pain, really. It drove everything I did, but I didn't see it because it was so effing scary to look at that I had my eyes shut to the real cause of my actions. And I went around trying to party, drink, sleep with women, sleep with as many women as I could because, you know, maybe that was the way for me to be loved, you know, like in those few moments where you're drunkenly bringing somebody home and you're spending the night with them, it feels okay. It feels like you lose yourself and you forget about the pain in those few moments. But then in the morning, I would look over at the person I brought home and I would just feel embarrassed and ashamed of what I'd done because I knew that it was done out of fear and pain and not love. But I kept doing this again and again because I didn't know what else to do. And then when I talked to my guy friends, when I talked to my fraternity brothers, it was all that they could talk about. You know, hey, did you hook up with so-and-so last night? Oh, man, those girls over there. You know, like, that's guy talk, and we're taught that that's okay. I mean, I learned it from my fraternity brothers. I learned it from my wrestling team. I learned it from the media, from watching television, from everything. That, like, a real man, you know, successful man, someone who's worthy, someone who's awesome and worthy of being looked up to, sleeps with a lot of women. He parties or he drinks or he gets that corporate job. And I was just grasping after straws because I was just looking for anything that I could find to soothe this deep, deep pain in my heart that I didn't even kind of realize was there. And so you asked me, how did I finally come to realize this?
Mm-hmm.
I finally came to realize this because I spent a weekend with 100 other guys in a group dedicated to personal growth and self-improvement. And I spent that weekend there with 20-some therapists. And these therapists were amazing. I mean, they broke down the idea of trauma and pain to me in a way that I never thought about before, or maybe just in a way that I'd never been willing to accept before. And I saw people there who were 30, 40, 50 years old. I saw people who were titans of industry, successful business people, successful surgeons and doctors and writers, all sorts of people. And you know, for confidentiality's sake, I won't say what the group was, but I have to say that this weekend there was pivotal for me coming to understand that my own pain had led me to do so many actions in my life that continued to hurt me, that continued to keep me there. And at the same time, for a brief moment, for, you know, that weekend, I realized that my whole life, it's as if I've been stuck in this dark room, you know, this dark room, and there's all this stuff strewn about me, just on the floor, on top of each other. It's just a huge clutter, and I'm in the middle of all of it. And I'm so afraid to look at the stuff around me because I'm so afraid of admitting and acknowledging the pain that has been in my life that I have my eyes shut and I have the lights off. And I'm just standing there in the middle of all this shit, you know, eyes closed, like wishing that I wasn't there, trying from time to time to leave, you know, finding the courage to go join a fraternity, finding the courage to go talk to girls at the parties because, you know, eventually you stay somewhere long enough and it sucks and you finally get the courage to move. But when I moved, I still had my eyes closed, so inevitably I would fall back down again. Inevitably I would trip over something and I would just be back down on the ground. And being on the ground in the middle of all this stuff is the worst place you can be. I mean, we all have those moments where we're down and life seems so difficult. You know, it doesn't seem like it's worth it to get up and go to work. It doesn't seem like it's worth it to talk to your friends or to really do anything because life sucks so much and nobody understands how you're feeling at that time and you just want to curl up and hide for a while. And so I was there too. And the most beautiful thing was that in this weekend, surrounded by this group of people, this tribe, this community of people who got it, who made a safe space, who told me that there's no judgment, it allowed me for a split second, for just a few moments, to open my eyes and turn on the light just the teeniest bit and look around at all the shit in my life and realize that there's a way out of this. But the way out of this requires a lot of courage. And for now, right now, what I'm going to do is I can't imagine being out of here, but at the very least, I can step around the biggest thing in my life, and I can at least see that it's there so that I don't keep running into it. And from that moment on, you know, I left that weekend and I had a plan, you know, I had found the courage within myself to really see, to really take a look at my life again. And I, you know, at that weekend, I remembered that painful memory when my mother came home late at night and I came down, I ran downstairs to give her a hug and welcome her back home. And asked her to stay, only for her to tell me that she was leaving again. And I, you know, I remembered how painful it was. And it was finally then that I could say to myself, you know, because she's not there in that room, to myself that, you know, why did you do this to me? Like, didn't you understand that I just wanted love? Like, I just wanted to know that you loved me so I could love myself. And that was just, you know, that was the first kind of moment that I really looked at that pain truly and honestly. And I didn't even, you know, that's just the first step. And let me be very clear, that's just the first step.
Yeah.
But I finally did that, and it gave me the courage to start looking at myself more honestly, looking at my life more honestly, meditating every day, because meditating gives you a chance to kind of shut down your brain's chatter and really look inside and try to find your balance, because it's only from a point of balance can you make any real progress forward. And then later on in life, this has all happened in the last span of months. You know, in April, I went to that retreat. And today is October 15th, so that's 6 months. In 6 months' time, I came to acknowledge one of the most painful obstacles and memories in my life. And I started meditating, and I started seeing how my life at those moments from then until now, was full of pain and was full of things that I kept doing that tripped myself up. And in June, actually, I had, during one of my meditation sessions, I had a vision of myself in the future. Because here's the funny thing is that, we all think that we see with our eyes and we hear with our ears, but the truth is that those things are just collecting information. Your eyes just collect visual information. They collect light being reflected off of surfaces. And it's your brain that analyzes that information and creates an image. And your ears just collect the vibrational sounds from around you. And our ears only collect some very limited range of sounds. And then your brain interprets what those sounds are that our ears collected. And then you think that you hear my voice right now. You think that you see the light around you or the wall or the room that you happen to be in or the phone that you're listening in on. But the truth is that you can close your eyes and you can plug it through ears. And if you're meditating, you can have a visceral experience. And I saw what must have been my future self, 40-some years old. And he was fucking miserable. I'm sorry for swearing, but he was just not
No,
happy.
I embrace
it. I was wearing a nice suit. I think I looked at myself. You know, I just instantly knew that I had a car. I had a BMW or something like a BMW. I was financially successful, but I also felt in my heart that the pain that I carry around now, it hadn't been resolved, and it was keeping me from really living a happy, fulfilling life, even at 40 years old, even with all that money. And this is something that I already knew, because in April, I've been around a bunch of people who are, you know, you can call them CEO-level people, because some of them are CEOs of big companies. And I knew that they weren't happy. They knew they weren't happy. They knew that there was pain they were holding on to they hadn't let go of. So that day, I meditated, and I saw a vision, and I saw if I continue down the path I'm going right now, if I just keep doing the same stuff again and again, I'm not getting out of this cycle of suffering. I'm not getting away from my pain and all the suffering that I create for myself as a result of my pain. So I have to do something different. And for me, you know, I talked to my girlfriend, I talked to a few family members, and then I came into my job and I told my boss that I was going to quit. I gave him my notice because, you know, the job and who I was becoming in this job around the people and the people I worked with and just the life that I was creating for myself, it wasn't the kind of life that would lead to any kind of fulfillment. It was the kind of life that would lead to a lot of financial success.
Right.
Kind of like to lead to a lot of professional success, a lot of respect from people who didn't know me better, who didn't truly know that I was suffering.
Yeah.
But on the outside, I would look good. On the inside, it'd be like I was a withered up, you know, old fruit or something like that. and then I quit. And then a week later, I was telling a friend about what I wanted to do, because all I knew was that I have to find my purpose. I have to find some other way to live. But I don't necessarily know what it is. I kind of know that what I've always been into, what's always appealed to me is opening up with people, is getting people to open up and share their story with me and doing the same with them and getting advice and giving advice and really listening and connecting and sharing that love that fellow human beings can share with one another. That's always appealed to me, maybe because I've always lacked so much love in my life. And by the way, I've had a lot of love. I have, one parent who was always there for me, but still there was a lot of pain. And it's not that there weren't people in my life who loved me. It's that I never learned how to deal with my pain. And that was why I had created this life for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a week after I left that I found a friend and I was telling him about my journey, and he forwarded me the book Universe 101, Learn, Grow, Evolve by Monica Ortiz. This was a life-changing moment for me. It was the life transformative Kickstarter for me. You know, the book Universe 101 by Monica Ortiz. And I read the book, and it just asked the question that really made me look at my life and understand why I'd gotten to where I was. You know, it got me to be more honest with the pain I carried and the issues that resulted as, you know, that came up from the pain. And it told me what the next couple steps were. You know, because at this point, if you're still listening and the story means anything at all to you, hopefully you're thinking about your own life and the pain that you carry that's not necessarily my pain, but it's uniquely yours. And you're wondering, how do I get rid of it? How do I do something to create a more fulfilling life for myself? How can I find my courage to open up to my issues and be honest? And so the first step, like I said, is to be honest. And the second step, you know, be honest. To be honest with the issue, like be honest with what's holding you back right now. And for me, it was a lot of things.
Right.
You know, but one of the biggest ones was that I don't feel like I'm worthy of things. I don't feel like I'm worthy of love. Mm-hmm. And then once you know that issue, to identify when it started. So like to really go back in your childhood or your earlier memories, your earlier life, and figure out what was the first experience, what was the first memory you had that taught you, you know, that was related to this issue. Who was involved? How were they involved? And, you know, and this is in order to really target that issue and to get it at its very root. At the very root, when this lesson, when this issue first was planted inside of you, it's super important to go back as far as you can and to find the very beginning, because without knowing the beginning, you can cut a root, you know, from the top of it, and you totally miss the deeper part that started. And
then what do you do from there once you're able to identify a little bit deeper what that thing is that's kind of caused all this pain and led you to where you are? What would you say is the next step? Mm-hmm. So... You've given us just such an amazingly beautiful, raw depiction of your story and everything that you've went through, and just all the, not only everything that you went through, but then the going back and seeing where things, you know, made an impact later on in your life, knowing that, you know, because you never had the love from your mom connected to the love that you had with other women, and how it was kind of conflicted and confused, and, you know, all of the other beautiful distractions that you had, if you will. And then once you found yourself in a place where there was no judgment, you were almost able to let go of that resistance and start to go back again and see, you know, in a really honest, real way, you know, what had happened in your life, how it unfolded and how it brought you to where you were. And so, and again, for other people, you know, it's easy for us to say on here, oh, well, you should do this or you should do that. But I really appreciate the fact that you're saying, you know, it takes more than that. It takes getting honest and then really getting to the root of the issue, you know, identifying what exactly is going on. And then what would you say is the next step in that, you know, area?
Yeah, so I paused for a second because I keep this in a Word document just to make sure that when I tell people about it, I really tell them everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we really give the tools that can help somebody change their life. You know, having one out of the four tools you need is great. It's a better step than having none, but I want to make sure everyone has all four. So I pulled it up here and I have it. So the first step is honesty, you know, thinking back to... You know, being honest with yourself and identifying the issue identifying the issue in your life right now, and then being honest with how is it holding you back, or why is it holding you back. And then number two is, like I said, thinking back to when the issue first started and figuring out how did it start. You know, what is the first memory of the words or actions that began this pattern? You know, who was involved? And you know, because this is when the seed was planted. And then it's really important to actually understand how old you were and how you reacted to the experience. Because, you know, an action starts something, but it only implants that seed when we ourselves interpret it to. You know, my mom was leaving, and I interpreted it to mean that I wasn't worth loving. So it's really important to understand what the action was and what our reaction to it was.
Mm.
And so now moving forward, step number three is to practice the universal principle of understanding. And when I say understanding, I mean deep, deep understanding. You have to ask yourself, for all the people who were involved in my issue, what was their motivation? You know, what led, in my example, my mom to go to the casino? And you have to be honest. You know, honesty is a universal principle, as is understanding. So throughout all of this, you have to be very honest, and you have to understand deeply what were the motivations for the people who were involved, who said what they did or acted the way they did. Was it a matter of them being in a bad place in their life? Was it a cycle that they learned from somebody else, perhaps their grandparents or their parents, that they weren't able to break and therefore inflicted it upon you? Because I know that I've had days where I'm in pain and I lash out at the people around me. I don't know how to deal with it, and I just kind of, you know, share this pain with people, and it's terrible. It's not. I'm not excusing the behavior, but it, you know, it has to be understood that, like, was this the reason why they did it? And sometimes we have to talk to the people who injured us. We have to find the courage to go talk to them and ask them questions in a loving, caring way, so that we can understand more. Because understanding helps us.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding helps us because you get to understand the place you were in when the seed was planted. You get to understand why you reacted in the way that allowed it to be planted, why you allowed it to injure who you are and your core self, and why you develop a negative pattern as a result. You know, essentially, all this stuff is you, by understanding, you understand why you haven't moved forward and why you've been holding on to this pain.
Yeah.
And it's scary sometimes. You know, like, you do need courage to work on it. Anyone who's on a path of healing themselves, you know, if you know somebody like that, give them a hug or just tell them good job, because it's scary, and we can always do with a little bit more love in the world.
Yeah. And then what can you said there's four steps. So then what's after we kind of understand that deep understanding, not only for ourselves, but understanding what someone else may be going through, what do suggest then is the next course of action?
The very last thing is, you know, it may seem impossible at first when you start this, but with true understanding, you get to step four. You forgive.
Mm.
You forgive, and I don't mean forgive in the way that sometimes we say, like, say my roommate ate my food in the refrigerator, and I go up to him and I'm a little bit pissed off and I say, dude, did you eat my food? And he says, yeah, man, I was hungry, I'm sorry. And then I respond, oh, it's cool, man. I'm like, that's all right. But I walk away like a little bit pissed off inside, and I think that if I were to call him out on it, or if I were to make too big a deal of it, you know, I'd be a jerk, but I haven't really forgiven him. I don't mean that kind of forgiveness. I mean the kind of forgiveness that only comes when you recognize that the hurt that was done from, you know, it's already been done, and that you can understand why they did it, you can understand why you reacted the way you did, why you allowed that hurt to define you, and you can understand that the longer we hold on to this pain, the longer that I hold on to this pain, even if it's blame or anger against somebody else, the longer I'm hurt. And once the truth is, I think this is actually, you know you've done your job understanding when you forgive. Because in understanding, you see throughout your life, you see when it started and how it started and how you reacted to allow the seed to plant itself. And then you see how this pattern has played out in your life again and again and again and again, and how much suffering you went through as a result of holding on to this pain and holding on to this pattern. And then you get to your present day self. And if you really understand all that, you're ready to forgive. You're ready to, you know, forgive that this person hurts you. And it doesn't mean, you know, forgiving doesn't mean that you go open yourself up to them to hurt you in the same way again. It may mean that you forgive somebody and you move on with your life. You don't have to be friends with them, but you no longer hold this pain and this anger in your heart. Because if you hold on to those things, you hold on to that pattern, and it's going to come back, and it's going to hit you another time. Maybe a different way, but it's going to hit you again unless you truly forgive. And that's the real key to these things, is that if you forgive, you know, as I've come to be able to forgive my mother more, as I've come to be able to forgive the other things that have happened in my life, I accept the people in my life much more. I'm more open with them. I'm more comfortable with myself. I can say now that I love myself. I can say now that I'm not perfectly in love with myself, but I am so much closer to fully loving myself than I've ever been. And it's drastically changed my relationships with my girlfriend, my family, my friends. It's drastically changed my relationship with myself. And I think that this is the chance that you have to find your purpose and start loving other people too. You have to love yourself first before you can do those things to their fullest extent.
Absolutely. I mean, almost all my listeners know that no matter what, I say self-love is key. I did a video today and I said self-love is not selfish, but necessary as a part of our survival. And you really touched upon the process that I identify with very much so, and you were able to break it down in a way that really makes it possible for listeners and you know, anyone, you know, watching now or listening now can channel into and try and realize that it's a process and it takes time, but at the same time, it doesn't take a lot of time. Like you said, you started this back in April, and it's interesting because we think it's a lot of work, but once you actually let go, once you actually get honest, start with that first step you said, and make the decision that you want to change, that you want to do something different, or that you just admit to yourself, I'm not happy. You know, I'm not, when I go to bed at night, I'm not feeling all that great. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm not bursting at the seams with joy. And so I really just, again, I love the way that you've been able to be so honest and then again to go through the steps, you know, to identify what's really going on and from there to have a deeper level of understanding. And then again, that idea of forgiveness and not only forgiving other people in your life and learning how to tolerate them and but learning how to forgive yourself and learning that it's okay to love yourself and that, you know, sometimes that's kind of looked down upon and to know that sometimes forgiving yourself is half the battle. And so I appreciate that you brought that to light. And, you know, we're wrapping on the hour. But again, I just, you know, I want to say thank you again for being so just open and just willing to tell your story and not just kind of skim over, you know, the things that people want to hear and, you know, really get into it, because I think a lot of people can relate to this idea of worrying so much about the judgments of others and thinking so much that if only they do the things that they think are right, that then they'll bring, you know, that fulfillment to their life. And you, you know, we said earlier that term when we were talking, you know, before the show about being unapologetically you and bringing that confidence into life. And I think that's something you've definitely been able to tap into. So I commend you for it. And I think it's truly great. And you definitely bring it into your work, which is amazing. So again, we are, you know, wrapping up on the hour, but did you have any last final thoughts or anything else you wanted to share with us before we end?
Yeah, I do. So, you know, I started the company, the Universe Series, with Monica Ortiz. Or to be more accurate, she's been starting the company. She brought me in as a partner when I read her book and I reached out to her and I spoke with her and I realized that, you know, her message and her abilities to help people with their pain are world class. You know, I've spoken with therapists, I've seen authors, I've seen coaches, speakers, professors, incredible people my age, incredible people who are 60 years old, and I've never met a single person like Monica Ortiz. So her book, Universe 101, Learn, Grow, Evolve, is worth a read. And And if you go to the website, www.theuniverseseries.com, you'll see the Universe Series with an S.com. You will see the site that we have been working on for the past few months, and it's not perfect yet, but it's you know, it shows what we're about. And you know, we're doing a worldwide speaking tour. You know, we visited a few locations. We'll be in New York City soon. We'll be in LA, San Francisco. We'll be speaking at Stanford University, hopefully Berkeley University as well, and just touring locations in India, Machu Picchu, just going around the world to spread this message and to help as many people as possible. But if you are curious about whether we're coming to your city or not, you can check the website. It will be updated probably next week with the full schedule of where we'll be. Or you can always reach out to me. My email is andrew@theuniverseseries.com. andrew@theuniverseseries.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I'm so glad that, you know, we've been talking for a couple of months now, and I really wanted to have you on the show. So I'm so glad that, you know, we finally got to do that. And you know, it was just so just insightful in so many ways. And again, I just loved how vulnerable, you know, you're willing to be and to really share your story and everything you went through and the level of understanding that came from it all. So again, just thank you so much. And I'll, you know, I'm excited for your tour once you get to New York. I think it'll be amazing. And I've read, as you know, and listeners, I've read Monica's book, and it's definitely incredible. You can find it on Amazon, and it's definitely worth a read. It's an easy read, actually, so won't take up too much of your time. So I clearly recommend it. And again, thank you so much for coming on. We'll be in touch shortly.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Danielle.
Of course, of course. So, you know, what a great show, as always. I just love the variety that I've been having lately and all the amazing guests. Again, thank you so much to Andrew. Incredible. I'm still kind of processing it all right now. That's just how I work. So I'm sure I'll have even more insight and things to say about it as the night goes on and I process it a little bit further. But I think overall we can really see that our life is truly our life, and it's ours, and we should be living it out in the way that we want to. And I know that times have changed. It's different. Before, it was easy to just kind of get a job to get a job because it was 9 to 5, you know. When you know, now with technology and everything, you don't really leave your job. It always stays with you. And I think that's part of the disconnect that we're having and part of the dissatisfaction that we have with our careers, because there's no separation anymore. There's no more work-life balance. So I encourage you, if I know that you can't just get up and quit your job tomorrow. I know that's easier said than done. But I would encourage you to do the steps we talked about tonight. Get honest. Start to identify things. You know, start to see if you can understand what really happened a little bit more and start to forgive. And once you start to do these things, you'll be able to incorporate other things into your life. You'll be able to establish maybe a little bit more work-life balance. Maybe you'll just be able to set a better boundary. Maybe you'll be able to turn off your phone at a certain point in time, or realize that maybe going to your son's game is a little bit more important than staying to work on a proposal that you'll probably still be working on the next day anyway. So explore the things in your life that you're using to distract you from being who you really are and from getting to your core and that level of fulfillment that I know is within you, and I think deep down you know it too. So just start to explore. Again, one day at a time, even 1 minute at a time, just taking a moment to reassess, explore. Give yourself the time that you need to do this, and you'll really start to notice that things will change and new experiences will happen and new feelings will happen in turn as well, because I've experienced it too. And clearly our life is a journey and it's always going to change. And what I see as fulfillment today may change tomorrow. But the thing is, I'm ready and I'm willing and I want to evolve with it. And I want to keep growing and see what happens. So again, I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Please remember that, you know, you are your own best ally, and at the end of the day, it is about you, so take care of that you, and really just let go of that resistance that you're feeling and be willing to try something new. And so that wraps up tonight's show. Thank you again for being on with me. My next show is going to be on October 29th, Tuesday again. I'm not sure of the time just yet. I'm going to be doing a life coach chat. I'll be leading the discussion with two other coaches, so it should be a lot of fun. In addition, for those of you in the New York City area, myself and Stephanie Vong of Stephanie or SV Consulting, we're going to be doing a live workshop called Business Success in the City. And it's for anyone that's starting up a new business, whether you're a life coach or a personal trainer or a nutritionist, something where you're starting a new business, you live in the city, and you're tired of being overwhelmed by all the things that go with it. You know, you waste your time going to all these different networking events, you spend your money on all these different programs, and you feel like you're not really getting ahead. So we're looking to just give you a really clean, easy breakdown of the true things that you need to know when you're starting your business. We're going to give you social media strategies, how to build confidence, and give you a real networking experience, one where you actually walk away with someone that you could potentially make a collaboration with or some kind of connection. We just definitely, both ourselves included, are tired of some of the events that are out there that we feel just aren't benefiting us in a way that they should. So we want to provide that for you. So again, those of you that are in the New York City area, it's October 30th. You can go to my Facebook page, New U City Coaching, and there'll be more information there. Or you can always go to my website, www.newucitycoaching.com. In addition to the Life Coach Radio Network, I also want to remind you, we have the Life Coach TV Network. I actually just put up a video there today, so I'd love for you to check that out as well. You can find us on YouTube, Life Coach TV Network, or we have a Facebook page too. So thank you again so much for listening. I always appreciate your tuning in and your support and just always ready to hear what I have to say. So thank you so much. Have a great night, and we'll talk again soon. Thank you.